Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our new series through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you are with us. Last week's session, of course, was the introduction, and now in week two, we're all set to really dive in, and we hope you are too. So let's get it started and turn to Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to dive into chapter one, and we're going to try to get through the first 14 verses today. And Richard and I were talking earlier and said, oh, my goodness, we could just spend months and months and months on these 14 verses alone. It is so rich and dense and just full of unbelievable truth. But we're not going to take months and months and months. We're going to try to get through it today.
And so, I hope that truth is not unbelievable.
No, it's unbelievable to the human mind.
Figure of speech.
When the Spirit of God reveals it, it connects to the heart, and boy, it just it changes everything. It really absolutely changes everything. So as we talked last week, we went through the setup. When Paul first went to Ephesus, the riot that was there, the temple to Artemis, all of those things. And then we looked at Paul's final meeting with the elders of Ephesus. It was at another location. But he said to them, I want to finish the race. I want to complete the task that God has given me, and that's the task of testifying to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this book really is all about. It's about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that's been lavished upon us in such an amazing, amazing way. And we're going to see that in these first 14 verses. So let's dive in. The opening, the salutation, is basically Paul just saying he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And the word apostle is just a word that means one whom is sent. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus Christ has sent Paul out into the world. And this is by the will of God. So what Paul is doing, going on all these missionary journeys, taking the good news about Jesus to people wherever he goes, that's according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. That's what God wanted him to do, set him apart to do.
Yes.
And that's what that Damascus Road experience was all about, not only his salvation, but it was mission. Yes. You know, here's what you're going to do, Paul. Here's what's going to happen with your life from this point forward. And he's writing this to the holy people or the saints in Ephesus. And, you know, that is huge to say saints. There's so many people that think of themselves, they're believers, but they're just old sinners saved by grace. Yeah. That's their identity. Yeah. And then there's other folks that say we have a dual identity. We're sinners and we're saints. Well, we don't find that in the Word of God. No. Paul just comes right out and says you're saints. And that's who you are as a believer in Christ. And then he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a common salutation in all of Paul's writings. But let's make a note on the order of this.
Yes.
It's first grace and then peace. And I think the implication of it is simply this, that you cannot experience the peace of God apart from the grace of God. Mm-hmm. The two go hand in glove, don't they, Richard?
Yeah, and especially when, as we've talked about 100 times before, grace is not a thing, grace is a person. So if you want the peace of God, peace from God, the only availability of that is Jesus himself in the form of the Holy Spirit living inside of
right. me. So for peace, for joy, for any of those
yeah.
things, grace is really the only option on the menu.
Yes.
That's the only way that we're going to experience those things is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's a peace, it's a grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's going to tell us what that looks like. And in this next section, verses 3 all the way down to verse 14, we see all the gifts of grace that we have in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And that is a key phrase, in him. So time and time again, in all of Paul's writings, not just here in the book of Ephesians, he uses that two-letter phrase, in him. This is in Christ Jesus. So let's just look at all the gifts that we have in Christ. So he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what he's saying to us is there are no spiritual blessings outside of Jesus Christ. Everything is contained in him. And that's where we are as believers in Christ. We are in him. And because we are in him, we have every spiritual blessing. Now, we need to really pay attention to how Paul wrote this, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm. So that's a past tense. I guess in the Greek it's actually an aorist tense, but context there, we can say this is something that he's already bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
There's so many people that wake up every day, they're looking for more blessings from God. And what Paul is saying to us here is that we've already been given every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realms in Christ Jesus. We have it. We already have it all as believers in Christ. And talk about good news. That is good news. So we don't have to search for something more. As Paul said in the book of Colossians, we are complete in Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is just one more application of that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And this is something that God the Father has already done for us. So that is good news. And he goes on to say, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, that's good news as well. So if you're in Christ, how does God see you? How do you stand in the sight of God as holy and blameless? Now, this was chosen by God before the creation of the world. This was a choice that he made before anything existed, that those who are in Christ would stand before him as holy and blameless. So this isn't about choosing some for salvation and others not. This is a choice about what's going to happen to those who are in Christ. We're going to be seen as holy and blameless in his sight. Now, we don't necessarily see ourselves in that way, but that's how God sees us. So if God sees us that way, that's truth. And so we need to take a stand on truth, don't we?
That's just not my dad or my mom going, well, that's my boy.
Right.
So, no, this is God saying, this is how I look at you.
Right.
He doesn't need new glasses. He's perfect. This is how he looks at us. It's about time we took him at his word.
Right. Why? Because his word is reality.
Yeah.
It is ultimate reality. And that's what truth is. So the truth is that we stand before God holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So he predestined something else. He chose something else, that anyone who is in Christ would be adopted into sonship. And boy, that's a permanent connection, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. In the Roman world, if you were adopted, whatever you were before ceased to exist. You didn't even have any history. You were now wholly identified with your new family, and there was no other family. And this is what Paul is talking about. Whatever we were before, Jew, Gentile, believer, unbeliever, you know, in whatever, now we've been adopted into Christ. All of that is gone.
Gone. Wow. I mean, just wow. It's all you can say about that. Just absolutely wow. We've been adopted into sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with God's pleasure and will. So this is something that he wants for us. He wants us to be adopted into his family. He wants us to be totally identified with him in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
And that's why he's blessed us in the way that he's blessed us in Christ Jesus. So that was predestined. That was a choice that he made, predetermined. Anyone who receives Christ Jesus is going to be adopted into sonship. And this is to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. There are some translations that render this as acceptance, that we have this acceptance in Christ Jesus. But again, this is all to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given us, which he has lavished upon us in the one he loves. So you can't separate the grace of God from the person of Jesus Christ.
Correct.
It's lavished on us through him. And there are so many people that, as you said just a few minutes ago, that look at grace as a thing or as a doctrine or as a theological concept, but that's missing the point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You have to keep this personal. God made it personal. We're supposed to accept it as personal. I mean, God so loved us, so wanted to restore the relationship with us, that he sent Jesus. Everything is possible in Jesus because God designed it that way. And when he speaks, it's true. It
yes.
happens. It's created.
Absolutely. So we're let's take a little break here, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, this
I
is.
I need to get my breath. Yeah,
there you go. You're on a roll. Well, this is study session two of our new Friday series based on the book of Ephesians. Glad you're with us, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And as I mentioned last week, this is an extensive study running in total about 14 weeks. And we'll be posting all sessions of our teaching archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. But again, this is session two in this in-depth look at Ephesians on Basic Gospel. And let's go ahead and get right back to it.
Yeah, let's do. This next verse is just power-packed. In him, Paul writes, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. So he's placed us in Christ. That's where we live and breathe and move. And in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. And one of these blessings is the fact that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And those two are not separate things. They're hand in glove
yes.
realities. So Jesus has paid the price, has redeemed us, and has released us from the punishment of sin, from the power of sin. And when we go to be with him, it's going to be from the presence of sin.
Yes.
So all of that is going to happen. The first two have already happened. Mm-hmm. So we have forgiveness. And this isn't a partial forgiveness. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that he doles out to us day by day. This isn't something that when we sin, we go to him and plead and beg, and then he gives us that forgiveness for that sin, and then when the next sin comes, he gives us more. No, he just simply says that in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's already yours. Every sin has already been dealt with through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
It's a continuous reality.
Yes. Yes. So, man, this is where the Christian world, I think, really misses it. We have such a old covenant mentality that, when they sin, they would bring a sacrifice to the temple, and if they sin the next day, they'd bring another sacrifice, mm-hmm. and, day after day, the sacrifices were being made, and then there was the Day of Atonement, and that happened every year, and that was an annual reminder to them of their sins. But those sacrifices could never take away the sins of the people. But this sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ that was offered once for all time, took away all of our sins. Yeah. So we've been released from those sins into the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So this is true of any person who is in Christ. So what happens when we sin today? We simply need to thank God that Jesus shed his blood, and that as a result of that, I am in him, and because I'm in him, I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. That's how we should live each and every day, resting in that finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
I love visual illustrations. And I think of getting out your paint bucket and painting a door facing in beautiful white. And you don't put on just a thin coat. You put on a lavish coat. This is what he's done with his grace. He's lavished us in his grace.
Yes, he has. And it's this grace that is really in charge of our forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And we realize that no one can outsend the grace of God. The grace of God is bigger than all of my sins. The grace of God is bigger than all of the sins that have ever been committed or ever will be committed. Mm-hmm. That's how big the grace of God is. It's limitless. And so we have that in Christ in just abundant supply. Now, he's done this in all wisdom and understanding, and he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So what's the mystery? That all things are going to be restored, and we're going to be at one in harmony, one with another in Christ Jesus. It's a great mystery. And he's starting by making the church, church that is made up of both Jew and Gentile. Out of two groups, he's making one new man. And so we're one together in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's alluding to here. Now, in him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the will of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Now, who were the first to put their hope in Christ Jesus?
The Jewish people in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. So Jesus told the apostles, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. This is before he ascended into heaven. And he said, at a point in time, you're going to receive power. The Holy Spirit is going to be given. You're going to be my witnesses. Well, so they waited. They waited in Jerusalem. And on that day of Pentecost, they were awakened that morning by this rushing wind sound. And boy, all of Jerusalem started to stir. And they got up trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And Peter stood up and said, here's the explanation. There were tongues of fire over his head and the disciples' head. And Jesus was giving the Holy Spirit to the people. He was coming to live inside the people. He had found a new home, a new dwelling, a new temple called the body of Christ. And that day, 3,000 Jewish people were added to the church. And so they were the first to hope in Christ. It was sometime later when that gospel went to the Samaritans and then went to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So they were the first to hope in Christ, and so they will be to the praise of his glory. And then he says, and you also were included in Christ. Well, who are the also's? Well, they are the Gentiles. Yep. So you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So the Jews who are in Christ are to the praise of God's glory. The Gentiles who are in Christ are to the praise of God's glory. And that's what's been predestined, is that both Jew and Gentile would receive the same gift of life through faith in Jesus, and they would stand together as one in him. Now, talk about good news.
Indeed.
That is good news. And he has marked us out as his true disciples, as his true people of God, by giving to us his Holy Spirit. That is the deposit guaranteeing all of our hope that is in him. The fact that we're going to get a new body, the fact that we're going to be with him forever. All of this is guaranteed by the giving of the Holy Spirit. Richard?
This picture of seal, again, go back to the Roman seal. What did the Romans try to do with Jesus' grave? They sealed it, which meant nobody can touch it. You touch that on pain of death. Well, Gabriel shows up and says, well, this is more important, and breaks that seal like it's not even there. On the contrary, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the seal of God himself. No one, nothing can break that seal.
Yes.
Jesus told us himself, I hold you in my hands. No one can snatch you out. Here's Paul saying the same thing. You're sealed.
Yes.
No one can break that seal. You want assurance? Here's assurance.
Right. And it's kind of interesting. Last week we talked about Paul going to Ephesus, and he meets a group of disciples, mm-hmm. and they had been under the teaching of Apollos.
Yeah.
And Apollos was limited in his knowledge. All he knew was the baptism of John. Mm-hmm. So he articulated that, and he was a great orator. And so he had a group of people, 12 in total, yeah. that knew about this baptism of John. Well, Paul met them, mm-hmm. and he asked them the question, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. So Paul completed the story. He filled out the message. He gave them the whole gospel about Jesus, his death, yeah. his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And as he did, they opened up their hearts, and they received the gift of God's Spirit. Now, what he's saying to us is that gift is the seal that marks us out. You know, there are so many people, Richard, and we get this question so often
yeah.
About the book of Revelation. Will believers ever receive the mark of the beast? And the answer is absolutely not.
How could you?
We've already received the mark of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? That is the Holy Spirit himself. We've been marked with a seal, and he is going to do something, renewing our mind, and in renewing our mind, we're going to see his life being lived out through us. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the mark of the beast, it's on the hands or on the forehead. Well, what does that indicate? How we think and what we do.
Yeah.
The thinking and the doing. Well, we have this mark of the Holy Spirit who is renewing our minds, aligning our minds, our thinking with the truth of the Word of God. And then as he aligns our minds, we're going to see his life being lived out through us as we walk by faith in him.
Yeah.
That's how important this gift is.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the good news. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So if you're a believer, you are in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you have every spiritual blessing. You are holy in God's sight. You are blameless in God's sight because of the grace that God has poured out on you in Christ Jesus. You are redeemed, forgiven, not just partially forgiven, but totally forgiven. And all of this has been predestined by God. And to cap it all off, you have been marked out as one of his very own by the Holy Spirit who is alive, living in you right now. So friends, rejoice. I just encourage you to take this chapter, these 14 verses, and read and reread and allow the Spirit of God to embed these truths deep within your heart.
Well, friends, thank you for being with us for this study session 2 in Ephesians. We hope you'll be with us every Friday for this series and take advantage of the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your gift to Basic Gospel in the month of January, you're going to be helping make Basic Gospel possible to be on the air and online every day, proclaiming this truth of God's grace. To help, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And of course, in Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your contribution this month, be sure to request your 14-CD series called It's All Yours by Bob and Richard. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail anytime at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, or email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.